follow the Apostle Paul through the epistles and even some of the Acts, you find it, that he was careful to send different men to the churches. I've never entertained the idea that I have the awareness that the Apostle Paul has. But he would look at a church and would understand its needs and say, you know, Clement or Alexander or Titus or Silas would be good for you in this particular period of time. Well, I think God has decided that Sammy would be good for us at this particular time. So Sammy, it was with 100% confidence that I walk out of this pulpit and give it to you today. God bless you. Thank you for coming all the way from the West Bank. He's a Samaritan. Welcome. God
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Morning. I am delighted to be with you this morning. And really, the world has changed. So I want to use my laptop also. I didn't have time actually to print out my material out of my computer. So I have, and actually always I still work on it. So I just last night I was working in my notes. So excuse me. Yeah, the world has changed. So I'm looking for to buy a notebook so I can put my stuff on it. So yeah, my name, by now you know, my name is Sammy. I am from Samaria area. I am living in the West Bank of Palestine or Israel. I was born just south of Nazareth, about 45 minutes, north of Jacob's Well, about half an hour. And that's the area where is my backyard. So it is just where I live, where I grew up. And actually, when I was 17 years old, I went to Bethlehem to visit my sister. She was married there. And my parents are Catholic. My grandparents are Catholic. So, so far I tell, my grandfather also was a Catholic because his name was John, means John. So far all our links is our Christian background. When I went to visit my sister in Bethlehem, and her husband was a communist in his beliefs, he's a Greek Orthodox, his parents are Greek Orthodox, and he was in university, he is adopting the communist principles, that everything has to be distributed equally between people. So he loves that. So he thinking that way. So when I visit him, I found him, he was a born again believer. From a communist thinking to a Christian believer thinking in the Bible. So he invited me to go and attend a conference with him in Jerusalem area, where he was knocking, telling people about Jesus Christ, through the conference at the Nazarene Church, just outside of the old city. There at the conference, I gave my life to the Lord. And at that time, I went back home. I was the only believer Christian, in my hometown or in my district area. Start working my way there, going to buy to the school there. As I remember in the school, I was attending a Catholic school from kindergarten to ninth grade. At ninth grade, I had to go to the public school, which is our majority are Muslim students. All of them are Muslims. So myself and my friend from Catholic school, we were both of us Catholic in that school, or Christian in that school, supposed to be called a Christian. So they start ask us questions about our faith. I just accepted Christ as my Savior just a month ago when I went there. So they start asking me questions about Trinity. How you believe in the three gods, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And also, they believe also that the Catholic believes in four gods, the Virgin Mary. Because in our area, in our town, in our in the Middle East, they have the whole month of May just to pray for Mary. So they got the idea that the Catholic believes in four gods. How you say that? They believe in the unity of the of God, of Allah, just one Allah, no other than just one. So I couldn't explain to them these things. I remember I bowed, I said, Lord, help me to study your word so I'll be able to teach these people about you. And as I know and as you know, God is always faithful. After I finished high school, God led me to Bethlehem Bible College in Bethlehem. From there, I wasn't satisfied from my schools there, so I looking for another opportunity to come for the U.S., to come to finish my master's degree here. And by sovereignty of God, led me to a lady. Her husband is Messianic Jews, and she is a Danish. She's from Denmark. And God led me to her. As I finished from Bethlehem Bible School, I started working in an orphanage in a city called Ramallah. The orphanage, it's supported by a Christian organization from the U.S. So she used to come, this lady, each year once or twice to the orphanage, and where she was sponsoring one of the students there, and the student became the president of the orphanage in the time I was working there. So she brought scholarship for a student whom she loved him in the orphanage to come and to study theology in northern part of the U.S. in Bemidji, Minnesota. And he told her, Auntie, I love to come to the States, but not to study theology. I want to study science or chemistry, whatever. So he was looking for some kind of other job. So he said, I will not waste my 4 years just studying something I will not use in my life. The president told her, her name is Hava Katz, why don't ask Sammy to accept, if he can accept the scholarship, come to the U.S. She said, I didn't know, but I will ask him. She came and asked me, she said, do you like to go to the state and finish your education? I said, I will love that, but is there a but there? What's the but? I said, if it is from God. If it's not from God, I will not make it. So he said, I will not promise you of anything, just I have to go back to the school. At that time, the school was called Oak Hills Bible College. She came back to the school and told them about me. And actually, they sent us application. We sent application, my wife and I. My wife, she was studying English in the university there. So we applied for myself and my wife in the school, and they accepted us as exchange student or as foreign student. They gave us, both of us, full scholarship to come to the U.S. to study the Word of God. Wasn't satisfied there. The school was not BA, not master, was just BA. I got finished my BA program in their school and start looking for a seminary to finish my master degree, because I am in my thinking to have to study at least for master degree here in the U.S. So finding a school, writing schools, who tell them about myself and trying to explain to them about myself. And a student I met him there, he was a friend with one of the teachers at Faith Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary there. He knew him, so he gave me his name and his address. I wrote him, and he turned my papers to the school and start corresponding with the school to finish my master's degree there. They accepted me again, and they said, we will give you work scholarship. You can work in the school, in the campus, and finish your master's degree. I spent other 3 years down in south in Iowa. Finished my master's degree in Divinity and get my master there. I went back home in 2001 as missionary with sent from Ankeny Baptist Church and by Baptist Mission, working with serving with Baptist Mission and sent by Ankeny Baptist Church to the place where is nobody will be able to go. Not because there nobody want to go there, but because the government will not allow anyone to go there as a missionary, to plant churches there. The Israeli government will refuse, the Palestinian government will refuse any mission work do there. So, because we were born in that town, born in that country, we are able to go just start planting churches. Because that's who we are. They can't kick us from the country. It's our home. We have the right to be in our home. So we start planting churches in our home, in our town. My wife and I, both of us, we live in the same town. And we start planting churches in our town, in our home. So that's who we are. I just want to give you something. I encourage you to come in the evening, see what God has done through us the past about 10 years. We returned in 2001. We started working there in our house, and we're having now a small church, about 30 people attending our church. Just encourage you to come back and see what God done through us. And also, I have a display table back in the earlier there, so please grab one of our prayer card and grab one and just remember us in your prayers. We like you to pray for us. So we are trying to get people just to pray for us because we need prayers. We came to the state by faith. We went back home by faith, and we believe in a sovereign God, and He can protect His children anywhere. So please just pray for us and have information about us. So, as I said, the pastor said we have four children. I will tell you that about that later in the evening service more. Just I want to turn with me your Bible to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is my favorite chapter in the book, and because actually my father, if you have my prayer card, there is a shepherd, and a man has sheep in my prayer card. This is my father, this is my dad, and this is my dad's sheep. So I am son of a shepherd man. Actually, I was able to help my dad with his sheep. I used to shepherd his sheep while I'm in vacation. So for that, I love this book. I love this chapter of John 10, because Jesus claimed himself to be the good shepherd. John chapter 10, it is the continuous of the chapter 9. Chapter 9 talks about the blind man was born blind, and Jesus healed him through his ministry in Jerusalem. And there was debate between Jesus and the Pharisees, the leaders, the religious people in Israel, debating with Jesus that he is not allowed for him to heal anyone in a holiday, in Sabbath, in the day of Sabbath. So they were debating with Jesus, is it you are son of God, or you are, who are you claiming? And you are healing people, breaking the laws. So Jesus was debating with the Pharisees about the blindness in the life. I mean, these people are religious, and they know the Bible from their heart. They know the Old Testament from their heart. And couldn't understand how is a man sent by God just broke the law. That was their more concern about the law, not about how you can live your life or how you can evangelize others about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we, as a Christian, we are tight with our faith, and sometimes we miss to see what in the Bible, what is in God's Word. We read the Bible, I read the Bible several times. When each time I read a chapter, I can find something new there. I mean, I just read it last year, but this time I discovered something new. Because when I was reading the first time, I was looking at one thing, but this time God opened my eyes wider so I can see wider things. I can start to see more things. I have the opportunity 2 weeks ago to go to Glacier Park. And while we are going there, and Pastor Tim from Big Fork took me there, and he said, let us go hiking. And we went. We took a small hike there from Logan Pass to the Hidden Lake. I'm telling him this, while we are walking, I like to see mountain goats. He said, I hope you will see there. So as we are passing the hike, I was walking through the hike, I was looking around. I was fascinating how God just took the time to create this beauty in that area. I just was looking around. I wasn't looking around my feet to see where I'm stepping or where I'm walking. I just looking around and walking. It was fascinating. And suddenly we start to see mountain goats. As I start to take pictures for them, and we are coming back, Tim start to ask the people, if you see the mountain goats. He said, no, where's the mountain goats? He said, just right there. Just 10 feet away from them, the mountain goat was. But nobody was looking for the mountain goats, because they were all of them walking and trying to keep their foot in the trail. And maybe a lady, she's carrying her youngest boy or a girl, and he's sleeping, and she exhausted, she can't see around here. So we are the same sometimes. We miss to see the truth of in our Bible. Jesus here is in chapter 9, verse 6, said, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. As I start to read in chapter 10, I start to find out that Jesus, John writing chapter 10, preceding that, Jesus just explaining to the Pharisees that they are blind. Not this man who was born blind, now he is seeing, but you are, as a religious people, you are also blind. You didn't see what's in what he's doing. He came from heaven, he came from God, he told them that he is Son of God, but they couldn't understand that he is the Messiah. You don't understand. So he, John wrote chapter 10, because as illustration to let them know that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And Jesus told them in chapter 10, in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus explained to the people that they are blind, and he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, what he will do? The good shepherd, he will give his life for the sheep. And Jesus, he is able to give his life for the sheep. And he is, because who he is, he came to this earth to die in the behalf of the sheep. He came to die for our behalf. So Jesus, because he is a good shepherd, he was able to give his life for the sheep. And he make comparative there between the good shepherd and the hiring shepherd. The hiring shepherd, when he see the wolf, he will run away. because he is not responsible for the sheep. He is just hiring. He's just taking care of them to take them to the pasture and to take care of them, but not to give his life in the behalf of the sheep. So when the wolf comes, they will run. But because of the good shepherd, he will defend his sheep. He will fight for his sheep with the wolves, and he give his life in the behalf of the sheep. As I told you, my dad is a shepherd, and one time he just got tired of his work. He said, I want to hire someone to take care of my sheep. He just want to relax, and just he find a young man, and he said, look, I want to give you a monthly payment, and just you take care of my sheep. And that shepherd was the worst shepherd ever my dad had, because he wasn't taking care of the sheep. He was just taking the sheep to the same pasture each day and doesn't care, bother them if they are sleeping or eating. He just want to enjoy himself, play with other friends there. So he just didn't take care of the sheep. So my dad's sheep in that year, they were the worst healthy, unhealthy sheep, because the shepherd wasn't good shepherd. Because the shepherd wasn't taking care of his sheep. So the shepherd wasn't taking them to the good pasture to grass there. He just take them, let them sleep. Spend the day there, I will go back in the evening. That's what he's doing. He was the worst shepherd that ever my dad had. Again, Jesus in verse 14 said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And my sheep, and am known by my own. Jesus knows his sheep by their names, and his know him, and his sheep know him. Again, one time I saw my dad with other shepherd. And a farmer there just took the wheat from out of his field. And after he took the weeds and make the hays, and usually the shepherd take their sheep to that field where they can eat out of the leftover from the farmer field. So I saw about 3 or 4 shepherd, they are just coming together into that field, and they mixed their sheep together. There were about 500 sheep there, all of them in the same one pasture. And in the end of the day, each shepherd started to go to a different direction. My dad lives in the west of the town, so my dad took the west side of the field, so he's going to go to his home. The other one took the east side, other took west, north or south. So each shepherd started to take direction, and each shepherd started to call to his sheep. 500, 600 sheep mixed together, and each farmer called on his sheep, and all his sheep, they followed him to the direction the shepherd went to. They separated themselves from the other flock because they didn't listen, they didn't hear the voice of the other shepherd wasn't familiar for my dad's sheep. So when my dad called his sheep, all his sheep came to the direction where he was standing. They separated themselves. They knew his voice, and they followed his voice. Because the good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep knows him. That's the good shepherd. He can go and find them one by one. From 500 or 600 or 1,000 sheep, he can go find his sheep and his goats, because he knows them by their faces, by their names, and they knew him. That's the good shepherd. Jesus again and again, he emphasizes that the sheep knows the shepherd's voice. Again, verse 16, Jesus said, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is telling us today that he has other sheep. I like to walk during the day. Like just to walk through the streets. So I was walking the other day. I took one of my routes, took 6th Street, cross 1st Street or Main Street to the east side of the town. So there I find at least 4 or 5 churches in that street, Lutheran Church, Presbyterian Church, Catholic Church, St. Matthew Church. So at least there are 4 or 5 churches, and there one church right here in this side of the town. So I find out it is a religious town here. There are many churches around here. But Jesus is telling us today that he have other sheep in this town. This sheep, not from this fold, but they are from different fold, which he said, I must bring them to the flock, to one flock, and to one shepherd. And the emphasis in this chapter, in book of John, several times, that he has other sheep. Last year, God started working my heart. My ministry was first 10 years, I took the easy path to my ministry. I started to work with traditional Christians in my town. And easy for me to start a church in a Christian town or traditionally Christian town than a Muslim town. So I said I have to establish something in a Christian town, whereas I will have less persecution from other sheep around me. So I start my church there. This last year, God started working my heart. I have to step over my fold. I start direct me to the other folds around myself. So I start to have fellowship, friendship with other sheep, Muslim sheep. I've been having at least with 6-7 young men friendship from Muslims background, allowing them to know me, living my life, because I know it is the difficulty of getting into the other fold. I have to start build basic things. When you start building the house, you start putting for the basic things in your house. So I start building, and my basic next ministry will be among the Muslims, other sheep. Because I believe there is no peace in the West and in the Middle East except through Jesus Christ. There is no peace. They are talking, they are sitting, they are trying to find a deal for peace. But is there no peace between Arabs and Israel unless they both of them believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? In that time there will be a peace. It's my job now to go and start planting seeds, leading these Muslims who are throwing rocks, who are throwing mussels at Israel, to let them know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, because of God said, Jesus said, I have other sheep, which are not from this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Again, this sheep will be the same as the other sheep. The fold, I believe the fold is Israel. And Jesus telling us that salvation came through Israel and spread to other nations. So the fold is Israel, and the other sheep is supposed to be from the other nations, from the outside of the folder, which they are now the Arabs there. Could be this today for you, the other sheep. Jesus telling us we must bring him in. Could be someone, be our neighbors, our friend, our boss at our work, a man just we come across at the Kmart. We try to tell him about Jesus Christ, and we are seeing him more often. And God wants us now to go focus on the other sheep, because we must bring him in. They will not become many folds. There are many folds. They will become one flock. All of them. The Arabs, the Jews, and they will become in one flock and under one shepherd. And Jesus go on in verse 27. Again, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out from my hand." And these other sheep who became to know Christ as their Savior, the same with the fold, his original fold, no one will snatch him from his hands. So in Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 18, there, I will not turn my Bible there, but you can read that later on. They will be brought near the other sheep. And also John 11 talk about that. John 17 talk about that. About that they become one shepherd. They become one flock and under one shepherd. The other groups, the other folds, they become one flock. But in Ephesians 2, Paul explained to us that both of them, they were two, now they are one. They were two, but they are one now. They are now one. The man who I came through him, this is the Messianic Jews. He live in Minnesota area, in Bemidji area. He used to call me, he just passed away a few years ago. He used to call me, "Sammy, come to attend my Passover celebration." He used to have a Passover meal. From time to time, he will tell me, "Come and attend my Passover meal." So I will go with it. I go attend his several times, attended his Passover meal. And he called in me, "Sammy, come to the front." And we came in the front, stood by him in the front. And he said, "Look, this man is an Arab Palestinian. I am a Israeli Jews man. And both of us now are one because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And look, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our relatives back home in Israel, they are fighting each other's. But we are now one because of Jesus Christ." And that's what Paul emphasizes there. That both of us, both of Arabs and Jews, they will become one in the blood of Jesus Christ. And both of them, they will be in God's hands, in Jesus' hands. And no one will be able to take them out of his hands or from his father's hand. That's what he said in verse 29, verse 29 from chapter 10, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. When my kids, they were young enough, now they are taller than me, stronger than me, I used to play with them a game. If they will ask me for something, for the car key, I try to grab the chain and the keys and try to give him the car key and ask him if he can come and take it from my hand. And he will try harder and hard to take the keys out from my hand. Now they will be able to take it, but later, the time they were unable to take it because they were still young. So they start hard pulling my fingers out from my the chain and try to pull it out. And later on they start call to other brothers and sisters, come and tell me to take the keys from my dad's hands. So the same idea. Jesus said here, no one will be able to take them out of his hand because he gave them the eternal security. He gave them the eternal life because he said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out from my hand. The same idea. No one will be able to take them out from God's hands. These believers, these other sheep, and the fold of Israel, they will become one sheep, one flock, and under one shepherd, and no one will be able to break that peace between the two brothers there. No one. Neither from God, from Jesus' hands, neither from God's hands, because he said neither they will take them out from my dad's hands, my father's hands. They will never be able to take over from his hands. The challenge today for you to look out to this other sheep who just live next door to you. These friends, my friends back home, I mean, I've been knowing them by their names, but I never had relationship with them. Now I have with them a strong relationship, and I need to build the trust issue between them and me, so they can trust me, so they will be able to come and ask me questions about Jesus Christ. It took me 10 years or 13 years to step over to look for the other sheep. I mean, I wasn't neglecting them. I have a chance I will share with Christ with them, but now it's putting in my heart, I have to go to the other sheep where I need to build with them a relationship, a friendship, trust with each other, so we can reach them to know Christ as their Savior. And one day, these other sheep will become to the one flock, and they will become under one shepherd, and no one will be able to take them out of God's hands. There no more will be war, no more will be fighting between the brothers, as myself and my friend Art Katz, we became friends, we became brothers. No fighting between myself and between him, because we have the reconciliation between ourselves and our God and ourselves with each other. It built in the reconciliation of God provided to us. I want to challenge you today to look for just the last sheep, the other sheep, which you might whom share the Christ with them, but you never able to convince them. Their heart wasn't ready, but today is Jesus saying they are ready, and I must bring them in. And we have just to step and go and share Christ with them. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity you gave us, that we are able to carry the good news to this other sheep you have, whom you said you must bring them in, because they are called by your name, and they know your name, and they will know your name, and they will know you if we just step out our routine life, just to step out, get courage to get into these friends, these workers, we work with them. With these friends, we share Christ with them, but they are still far away. But today you said, I must bring them in. Just we have to step in and go and share Christ with them so they know him as their Savior. Lord, I want to thank you for who you are, because you are the greater, because you are the great God, the great shepherd, who gave his life for his sheep. Lord, I want to just put in our hearts that we step out and get encouraged and go share Christ with these lost sheep around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
One of the things that Sammy has done for me in spending, I've spent quite a bit of time with him this week, for which I'm very grateful. He was giving us the illustration of walking the trails up there on the hike to Hidden Lake and getting your eyes off the trail and seeing what's around you. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, lift up your eyes unto the harvest, for the fields are white already into harvest. And one of the things that's been a real challenge to me is that we as American Christians have an undiscriminating love for Israel and an undiscriminating hatred for Palestine. And here's a man whose God has reached a Palestinian who's gone back to reach those Palestinians for Christ. And if nothing else, let's lift up our eyes to the reality that the answer in the Mideast is the same as the answer everywhere, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this brother puts himself in all kinds of danger to live there and represent his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's encouraging us to, without any danger, represent Christ here and reach our friends and neighbors for Christ. And the Savior leads us in that work.